Welcome to our study of Hebrews here on the Radio Bible Course. We've been studying the heroes of the faith. Hebrews chapter 11 lists many of them. And we've come to verse 32, where the writer writes this, "And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and the prophets." Although Gideon is listed with those men who had faith, he did not always have faith. As a matter of fact, he doubted God. He wanted a sign, just like many Christians today. And after God gave him a sign, he still didn't believe. He wanted another sign. Now I want to read about that, because many people are unaware that Gideon had problems with his faith. "And even though the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior,' and told him, 'Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand,' am I not sending you?" Gideon said, "How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." And the Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together." And you would have expected Gideon to go right out and lead the army. But what did he do? Verse 17, "Gideon replied, 'If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you.' And the Lord said, 'I will wait until you return.' Gideon went in, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour, he made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered to him under the oak. The angel of the Lord said to him, 'Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth.' And Gideon did so. With the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, 'O sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face.' But the Lord said to him, 'Peace. Do not be afraid. You are not going to die.' So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there, and he called it, 'The Lord is Peace.' The next thing the Lord told him was, 'Take the second bull from his father's herd, one that was 7 years old, and to tear down the altar to Baal, which his father had built, and to cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then he said, 'Build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on the top of this height, using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, and offer the second bull as a burnt offering.' So he did that. And in the morning, when the men of the town got up, there was Baal's altar demolished, with the pole beside it cut down, and the second bull sacrificed on the newly built altar. And they asked each other, 'Who did this?' And when they carefully investigated, they were told, 'Gideon, son of Joash, did it.' And the men of the town demanded Joash to bring out his son, and said, 'He must die, because he has broken down Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah pole beside it.' But Joash replied to the hostile crowd around him, 'Are you going to plead Baal's cause? Are you trying to save him? Whoever fights for him shall be put to death by morning. If Baal really is a god, he can defend himself when someone breaks down his altar.' So that day they called Gideon Jerub-Baal, saying, 'Let Baal contend with him, because he broke down Baal's altar.'" It took faith to do what Gideon did. Often in history, one person stood for God, and that influenced many other people. But then Gideon had a lapse in faith, and we read about that in verse 33. It says, "Now the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples joined forces and crossed over the Jordan and camped in the valley of Jezreel." Well, Gideon sent messengers throughout the tribe, calling them to arms and also to other tribes so that they too went to meet them. And Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece, and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand as you said." And that is what happened. Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew, a bowl full of water. And you would have expected that after setting that fleece and getting a sign from God that Gideon would have been content. But he wasn't. Faith is not getting signs. Faith is believing without seeing. Jesus himself affirmed that at the end of the Gospel of John when he spoke to Thomas. "Blessed are those who believe without seeing." Well, then what did Gideon do after that? He said to God, "Don't be angry with me. Let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece. This time, make the fleece dry and the ground covered with dew." That night, God did so. Only the fleece was dry. All the ground was covered with dew. Now, I was taught as a young Christian that if I didn't know what the Lord's will was for me, that I should set a fleece. Well, I never had too much confidence in it, but since other Christians told me to do it, I did such things as praying that if it began raining at 12 o'clock on a certain day, I would know that the Lord wanted me to go ahead with a certain project. Or if there was a bolt of thunder that sounded at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, that was a sign that I should not do a certain thing that I was planning on doing. Well, people set fleeces of various kinds, but there is no confidence that one can have in seeking God's guidance by that kind of thing. First of all, it's an insult to the Spirit who lives in the believer. We ought not to be testing God by asking him to tell us things which he has not revealed. The Word of God already tells us many, many things which are the will of God, which we are not doing, and so we ought not to be asking for the will of God concerning something which the Word has not declared. Yet, sincere people have promoted the setting of a fleece as an act of faith. Friends, it's an act of doubt, and it's a testing of God, which the Bible condemns. The devil promotes testing God. He did that with Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. He first tempted him by saying, "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." That didn't work. He took him up on the pinnacle of the temple and he said, "Cast yourself down. If you do, God's angels will come and rescue you so you won't dash your foot against a stone." That was an attempt to get Jesus to test God. But Jesus answered with Scripture. And the Scripture is where we ought to go when we want to know what God expects of us. God has already revealed many, many things that he expects of the Christian. First of all, it's that we believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. And secondly, to love one another as Christ loved us. God's will is that we live pure lives, that we be honest, that we be tender-hearted and kind, that we be forgiving. And until we've done those things, we ought not to be asking God to reveal things which we want to know. I suggest that if you read the Bible every day, that you read it from now on looking for the will of God. See what God has said about what he desires of you as a believer. It'll change your life. Well, the story of Gideon who defeated the Midianites is a thrilling story indeed. It's in chapter 7 of the book of Judges. Gideon started out with an army of 32,000 men. But that was too many for God, and the Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands in order that Israel may not boast against me that her own strength has saved her. Announce to the people, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead." So 22,000 men left. Gideon had an army then of 10,000. But the Lord didn't like 10,000 either. And he wanted to reduce that number, and he did. And Gideon took them down to the water, and God said, "Separate those who lap the water with their tongues like a dog from those who kneel down to drink." And the result was 300 men were left. Then God was pleased. And he took those 300 men led by Gideon and sent them into a battle which the Lord himself would win. So Gideon divided his 300 men into three companies, and he placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them with torches inside those jars. And he said, "Watch me. Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow yours and shout for the Lord and for Gideon." Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just after they had changed the guard. They blew their trumpets and broke the jars that were in their hands. The three companies blew the trumpets and smashed the jars, grasping the torches in their left hands and holding in their right hands the trumpets they were to blow. They shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." While each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. And when the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. Well, then Gideon called out some of the armies of the other tribes of Israel, and they captured a couple of the leaders of these Midianites, and the rest of the Midianites fled. Gideon was both bold and brave, and his faith grew. Yes, he was a man of faith. Here's a question. Years ago, a man named John Gacy lured young men into his home, sexually abused them, murdered them, and then buried them under his house in Chicago. 20 young men lost their lives. The question is, how much grace will it take to save him compared to you or your preacher or the Pope or Billy Graham? Most of us would say, well, it'll take much more grace to save John Gacy, a man like that. But if you agree with that answer, then perhaps you don't understand grace, because the Bible teaches us that everyone is saved by grace, totally by God's grace, and it takes 100% of it to save John Gacy and 100% to save Billy Graham, the Pope, and everybody else. We have a free booklet that will teach you more about grace right for today. Until next week, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.